First things first, today during the setup for the worship service, Kevin, what did you say? It was like a magical unicorn of chaos was invading everything. Nothing was working. This wouldn't work, and that wouldn't work, and this microphone was too loud, and the guitar wouldn't work at all. And you know what? It got all of us a little bit frazzled. Everyone that was preparing during the prayer time before worship, usually it's at 9:50 every Sunday, go into my office, and people come in there, and we talk a little bit, then we pray. And it was late. It was like 9:56, and I was just like, God, please just calm us so that we can get through this. So I'm even still feeling a little bit of frazzle from all of that. And it does kind of fit in with all the stuff in today's reading, or actually the stuff that's not in today's reading. So we'll get there. But first, we're going to just kind of get some passion into this system. And I want to ask some questions. What makes you want to shout? You don't have to answer out loud. Just gotta think about it. What makes you want to shout? On the other hand, what makes you so angry that you feel overheated? And then, what makes you want to sing out loud? And what gets under your skin? What makes you feel like jumping up and down or dancing? What makes you want to laugh out loud? And when you do any of those things, here's a big question. Who does it irritate the snot out of? In today's Bible reading, David danced with all his might. Michal, one of his wives, she was exceedingly irritated by the whole scene. How many times have you really wanted to give someone a piece of your mind? Daily, maybe? I don't know. And what do you do when the person who you really want to give you a piece of your mind to is loved, adored by everyone else? All right, a little deeper into this morning's reading. See, Michal, she had had enough with her husband, David. Again. This is not in the reading. It's adjacent to the reading. She had loved him like no other. And she knew that at least for a time, David had loved her. She had risked her life to save his. She had been torn from him, and she had to marry somebody else. And he didn't come for her. And after a long time, things finally got worked out and they were able to be back together again, but it wasn't the same. She didn't think that David was sad at all when she was in the arms of somebody else. I mean, he had no problem marrying a whole bunch of people and having children with them. But now they were back together. Finally. And you'd think they're back together. They would be looking at each other and talking to each other and enjoying moments. But instead, David was out there dancing nearly naked with everyone in front of the whole 30,000. Whew. And Michal thought, what a piece of work he is. Who does he think he is? I hate him. I hate him so much. Today's reading conveniently skips part. Were any of you reading along, had the Bible with you open up there? And Marla, it was a great pause between verse 6 and then verse 12. And did you get to skim all that was happening in there? Listen to this. This is what we skipped. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out his hand to the ark, and God took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God struck him there because he reached out his hand to the ark, and he died there beside the ark of God. David was angry because the Lord had burst forth with an outburst upon Uzzah, so that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the ark of the Lord come into my care?" So David was unwilling to take the ark of the Lord into his care in the city of David. Instead, David took it to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. It was told King David, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God." And that's messed up. It's messed up in a lot of ways. Some folks want to explain this part of the Bible, and they look at it, and we don't preach about it too often, but they want to explain it with, "Don't mess with God. It's trying to fight a thunderstorm." Or, "See, you have to respect God, or you'll get it." Or, "This passage ultimately shows how much awe the people of David's time had with respect to God's power. We need to rediscover that awe." And I just think it's messed up. David thought it was messed up. Perez Uzzah, what he called the place Uzzah was attacked. That's what it means. It's really messed up. See, in the Old Testament, it may be described that way, and this is people's experience, but God is not a cosmic sheriff waiting for us to screw up by touching the ark so that God can get us. This passage is a great example of something in the Bible that goes against that overall biblical narrative. You know, God creates something good, we mess up. God does something good, we mess up. The story is there, and it's messed up. But it does express some anger, right? And we're allowed to express anger. Reach out and touch the ark because it might fall to the ground, and God will kill you. No. That'll make you think twice about agreeing to care for something like the ark. David did. David got rid of the ark as quickly as he could. And then things went well for Obed-Edom. David came back and got the ark then in the second part of our reading, and he celebrated. And here's an aside within an aside there. Obed-Edom, the Gittite, do you know who else was a Gittite? Goliath. The whole David and Goliath thing, Goliath the Gittite. So David, who had killed Goliath way back when he was a boy, now he gives the ark to Obed-Edom the Gittite, and the Gittites are blessed. All right, now back to some anger, because that's pretty present here. Michael's emotions. They're similar to the emotions many folks have felt, right? We all feel anger. Her anger was disdain for someone who dances around as if they were all that in a bag of chips. When you all dance today for after the sermon, are you going to dance like you're all that in a bag of chips? No? Maybe? Sometimes, we get emotions surrounding dancing, right? We get emotions like, why are you dancing here? Or dancing is for there, or I don't want dancing, or all of that. And dancing is very present in the Bible, but we have strong emotions attached to it. Taking God's unconditional love as a given. We have to, right? How do you think it's possible to be reconciled to the people we wish would simply go away or not do the things that they do? Or maybe just leave us alone? Because when we feel that anger, we feel like someone is either manipulating others or just doing something downright wrong, and we want to get under their skin and say, stop it. And as the church, how do we balance prophetic words? How do we balance standing up for justice and getting in someone's face just to make them angry? How do we live out being a caring community of Christ? How do we live out being a people of prayer and action? How do we live out being a beacon of hope, justice, and peace in all of that? And owning, experiencing, knowing God's unconditional love is always possible, and reconciliation is always possible with any and all of God's children. How do we celebrate? We've got this hand. How do we balance all of that? And how do we celebrate? David celebrated. There was wrong going on there, yet it was time to celebrate. Sometimes when we celebrate, we're going to do it in silence and reflection. Good music, quiet music. Sometimes we're going to celebrate with warm smiles and caring hugs. I needed warmth that day. I needed just the presence of love in my life, and that was it. Sometimes we celebrate with singing and clapping. Exuberance. Sometimes we can celebrate with laughter and high fives. And yeah, sometimes we can celebrate with dancing. We really can. And not just dancing a little two-step or a dainty waltz, although those are great ways to celebrate. But like David, I mean, really, really letting go. Dancing with all our might. Dancing so that the next morning we're sore because of all the headbanging we were doing. Anybody go out to a bar last night and your neck is sore? Anyone? Under the age of 30? Might have done that? I don't know. Under the age of 30 and no kids? People do that. They're normally not in church. Why aren't people that go to the bars and are headbanging on Saturday nights not in church on Sunday morning? Well, because we have made them feel like they shouldn't be in church on Sunday morning. Maybe we should take a Sunday, and instead of meeting here for church, we should all find a way to meet at another round or somewhere else in Chicago. But Downers Grove would be good. Maybe we can get another round to open up, and we have church in there once a year, once a month, whatever it is. Whoever's hanging around downtown and still with a sore neck from headbanging the night before. Dancing with all our might. Dancing that some people look at and get uncomfortable and angry. Maybe it's not just headbanging. Maybe it's the kind of dancing that happens on Saturday nights. But you know what? There are people that go to the bars and are in all kinds of places on Saturday night, and they're still in some kind of church on Sunday morning. It does happen. How do you open up the doors to people who you think should never darken the doors? That's the point. We can't be thinking you should never darken the doors of a church if you're doing that. We should say, you want to come to church on Sunday morning? We've got coffee and aspirin. Right? David was dancing with all his might. I can imagine he was sore later and sunburned. That's the scene that his wife despised. And folks, we need to celebrate. We need to celebrate who we are and what we're about. What are we about? I've said the vision statement, but remember this. Together, we share the joy of discipleship and service to God with all who desire to join in the life of our church. God created each of us. As recipients of God's grace and love, unearned and freely given, we are called to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. We celebrate every person as a child of God, created in God's image. We welcome people of every age, every economic status, every ethnic origin, every gender identity, every marital status, every mental and physical ability, every political affiliation, every sexual orientation. Unashamed, boldly living out Christ's love. Unafraid, boldly living out God's radical hospitality and extravagant welcome. Unapologetic, boldly sharing a story of God's freedom, acceptance, welcome, inclusion, mercy, community, compassion, celebration, love, and dancing. Amen.